The Cap and Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and Jay Hood. Follow Cap J. Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone. Woo!
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Good morning. Welcome in on Cap J. Hood. Hoodie is off doing a basketball game. Double C. Courtney Cronin is in here. We got Shay. We got Jake. I'm David Kaplan. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning. I am great.
Got your JD hoodie on. That thing is awesome.
Isn't it great? I wear this thing all the time.
It's the best.
I got an email from Obvious Shirts, like their holiday sale and all that. I had somebody ask me if they're still making these. And I hope they are, because I'd love to see, you know, for JD's 1 year anniversary of his passing, to see these pop up again. They're great.
No question. ObviousShirts.com, promo code CAP. there you go. So we got news yesterday. Justin Fields was a full participant in practice. I know this guy wants to play. A, you are on the beat. You do an amazing job. Do you think he's playing?
If he is a full participant today, we've gone through the whole scenarios. Yesterday when we were waiting between locker room and offensive coach, assistant offensive coach availability, kind of doing like the web of things, like the flow chart. So if he's full and full today, can they list him as questionable? And then it'll be a game time decision. If he's full yesterday, full today, will there be any injury designation and he's cleared to play? All of the scenarios are at play here because of how this team to keep things close to the vest. Matt Eberflus has been very adamant about that, especially with the competitive advantage that they're trying to gain by keeping
this
stuff.
Competitive advantage?
I don't think so, because even yesterday, 2 days ago, when Eberflus was asked about Aaron Rodgers, he says he's playing, but do you have to prepare for Jordan Love as well? He's like, we're preparing for Rodgers. And even Robert Saleh, the Jets head coach, is like, we were preparing for Justin Fields. And I think that And the reason they were saying that is because Trevor Siemian, Nathan Peterman, whoever else, you know, comes into the conversation there, that doesn't take as much of a game plan as someone like a Justin Fields.
Correct.
You know, so I get it. I get the logic. But overall, if he is healthy enough to play and if he's medically cleared, he'll play. I can't see a scenario where he is not on the injury report and is available to play and is a healthy scratch. Now, whether you agree with that or not is a completely separate conversation. But I was surprised to see him as a full participant in practice yesterday, because we talked to Luke Getsy about an hour before they were practicing, and he said it was pretty much the same. They were in the same boat as they were in last week with him. And Matt Eberflus said earlier in the week he anticipated him being limited in, you know, all fashions of practice this week. And then to see him pop up as a full participant, that's newsworthy. That's a big deal.
100%. So I have been clear that if he is not 100%, not 94, this is not like, oh boy, if we win, we're in the playoffs. They're 3-9. If he's cleared 100%, he should play. He's a football player.
Yeah.
But if he is 99%, if he is 94%, you're done. We're 3-9. I'd rather be 3-14, much as the meatball in me wants to beat Green Bay. Do you know what I mean?
Of course. And the thing is, with the bye coming up, they've been adamant that it's not going to factor into their decision whether he plays or whether he doesn't. And I can understand that logic, because if a player truly is healthy enough, and we don't really know the degree of his separated shoulder. He said there were some partially torn ligaments, that it was a separated shoulder, but there's varying degrees of how bad that can possibly be. Maybe it wasn't as bad as we thought, because you hear separated shoulder, you think AC joint sprain, and he said it was basically an AC joint injury. That could take 2 weeks to recover. That could take 4 weeks to recover. Like, there's varying timetables. And without giving us that information, we had no idea to know, is this a one-week thing? Is it solely a pain management thing? Could you make it worse by any movement that you make? And seeing him in practice Wednesday and Thursday this week, he's throwing the ball. He doesn't have any sort of restriction on the arm mobility, at least from what we can see, from the stretching period to the light individual period where they're throwing routes on air. I do think, though, if this is something that could get worsened potentially, and if it's going to change what he has to do and how he operates as a quarterback, he won't play. But very clearly, that's not the case. If he's a full participant in practice and he's taking the full first team reps, he should be in line to go today. I would not be surprised to see him listed as full, barring any setback. I think he plays this weekend.
He might have had a setback last night because he couldn't get his dinner.
Poor
he
guy.
He tweeted last night, and I sent this out to Shay last night. This is on Twitter, at Uber Eats. I usually don't tweet much, but the fact that I ordered $90 worth of food and don't get it dropped off to the right place and can't get any credit is, capital letters, wild. Shaking my head, y'all got to do better. LOL, I was hungry and ready to go crazy on that food. Now I'm just going to starve. That's pretty good.
You know how many personal chefs are going to be reaching out to him today, trying to get some sort, of partnership going? His DMs and his inbox is going to be flooded by people trying to give him free stuff. So, right. I mean, it was a great play by Justin Fields yesterday.
Yeah,
I hope he found something to eat, though. I feel bad for him.
Right.
Because that sort of tweet, because he deleted it, because he probably that's a hanger induced tweet. You get upset, you get hungry, and the fact that they didn't give him any credit, I've had Uber Eats stuff that gets either lost or the driver, it gets there and it's cold and it's not up to standard.
And they
usually credit you right away.
Yeah.
All you got to do is go into like the settings and send like the feedback. And usually that's unfortunate that he couldn't get $90 worth of food credited.
How about that?
$90 for dinner for one person.
Unless he's got a little crew there. Maybe he's got his girlfriend, whoever.
Yeah.
But
everybody went to bed hungry.
Yeah. I was at, we had an event at Penny's last night for the station. Then I had to go to a TV thing. And I picked my wife up. That's another story that I'll get to. And I'm telling her about the tweet. She's like, she works for Mental Maddies. Hang on a minute. I might be able to get a pizza to him ASAP. Do you have his number? I'm like, no, I don't have his number. I'm not going to call him and go, hey, man, it's 9:30. You want my wife to get a pizza to your house? But he was a little...
The thought that counts.
He was hangry.
I mean, we've all done things like that. Yes. And I just hope that he's going to get asked about it at some point. Be like, so what did you do instead of the $90 worth of...
And how does a vegan spend $90 on food? Well, I have family and whatever.
Plant-based food is expensive. Vegan lifestyle is not for the faint of heart, for, you know, the discipline and for the wallet. So
eat a steak. I couldn't be a vegan. No shot. Anyway, so here's the question for everybody. We'll open up the phone lines. 312-332-3776. Justin was a full participant in practice on Thursday, putting him on track to start against the Packers Sunday. Would you, and don't think like a fan, think like Ryan Poles, think like Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsy, would you start Justin Fields if the doctors clear him? Yes, he can go. Pain management thing, shot of Toradol, whatever it is, he can go. Because you know that if he gets injured and it's unrelated, he hurts his shoulder because he falls the wrong way, which can happen on one play in an NFL game.
I mean, he fell the wrong way on it in Atlanta.
Correct. It could be completely unrelated. Everyone will be like, I told you he shouldn't have played. Mm-hmm. There's a risk every time you step on the field. So that's the question for you. Be the GM, be the head coach, be the OC. Would you play him? Here's Luke Getsy yesterday when he met the media on what he hopes to see from Justin once he's back on the field playing.
That's been the focus all year, right? is just that we continue to get better. The film room sessions have been really good. He was locked in last week. He did a great job with that, and so he's locked in again. And we just got to make sure we continue to progress, and he's got to continue to develop. He's got to continue to get these experiences so that we can continue to learn from him. He can grow, because that's the biggest thing, is just like these opportunities. It stinks that he wasn't able to be out there, because he needs as many opportunities and experiences as we can. But obviously, we're not going to risk it for just anything. So
there you go. So it'll be interesting to see if he's out there how they use him.
Yeah, and I don't think that you can change or expect him to change what he does, what makes him great, if you're asking him to sort of protect himself and his shoulder. Now, Matt Eberflus did say that he has to be able to protect himself. So if he can't do the very bare minimum of being able to slide, of being able to avoid unnecessary hits, then he wouldn't play.
Correct.
But I just feel like if he's a full participant in practice, he's showing you he can do those things. He can protect himself. They are comfortable with him. Potentially, you're going to take some hits. You're going to get sacked. Like, look at this offensive line. That's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But if they don't think that it could get separated even worse, if they don't think that it could lead to something else. I mean, your shoulder is connected to your collarbone, which is connected to, you know, the rest of your body. There's all these factors at play.
Correct.
But it's not his throwing shoulder. And that's always kind of been the thing here. If it was on his other arm, we're talking about a completely different scenario.
He's done.
This is a pain management thing.
Agreed. 312-332-3776. Also, Luke Getsy talked about the loss of Darnell Mooney affecting their passing game.
Moon means so much to this football team. His approach, his work ethic, the intelligence, the flexibility to move him around, and then obviously the talent is there too. So you don't replace, but the guy's got to step up. And so whether it's a collective or whatever, we got to find a way to get that production from other areas. But he's been such a good leader, good example of the play style and the way mentality of this football team. So that was a tough blow.
So I was listening to Waddle and Sylvie yesterday, and I was frankly shocked that Tommy said, I think it was Tommy, not Sylvie, he'd like to see him throw 30 to 35 times, drop him back, and see mm-hmm. how it goes. I couldn't disagree more vehemently. You can't protect the kid. We saw what happened against Detroit when they had to finally drop him back because they stopped their mm-hmm. ends from crashing up the field. He's fenced in. He got his ear ripped off.
Yeah.
I think he gets hit more back there than he does running out of bounds or sliding. Let him play however he plays. And if that means he throws 35 times and that's the game plan, so be it. But to just try and do that thinking you're protecting him, I don't agree.
I mean, wouldn't this be a great week to get the run game going, seeing what Philadelphia did to Green Bay?
300 and some yards.
And I mean, yeah, some of that, a lot of that came from the quarterback in the first quarter. And I think it's a good sign when Fields talked about his legs on Wednesday, because remember he's saying they were heavy, and he wasn't slow. On the long touchdown run against Detroit, he actually like hit like 20 plus miles an hour, but Mooney was joking in the locker room. He said, yeah, he kind of looked like a big guy running at that time. And it's like, he's still running 20 miles an hour on that play. His legs, it was almost like a dead leg situation. Like, they felt heavy and he is overused.
Yeah,
and then he runs 14 times in the first half at Atlanta. A week away from that is going to rejuvenate that and mm-hmm. all the treatment. And he's not, you know, he was limited in practice all last week. So it's not like he was running and putting a lot of wear and tear on his body. I think you can put him in that situation where he's utilizing his legs against Green Bay in a different way from what we saw the first time these two teams played in week two.
All right, 312-332-3776. Justin, full participant in practice on Thursday. Putting him on track to start if he's a full participant again today. Think like a GM or a coach. Would you start your franchise quarterback, your future, on Sunday against Green Bay? Be right back.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Rolling on Cap J-Hood on ESPN 1000. Don't forget Greeny at 10, Carmen Yerk at noon, Waddle and Sylvie at 2, Black and Abdallah at 6 o'clock. So Justin was a full participant in practice yesterday, putting him on track to start. Would you start Fields? You as a GM, not as a fan. Because as Meatball, I would. As a GM, I would not unless he's 100% fully cleared. By the way, correction on the scoring, my fault. We have the Pac-12 title game tonight.
Correct.
So no Black
USC
and Abdallah.
USC Utah will be on our air. No Black
Correct.
And Abdallah.
So enjoy the night off, boys. 312-332-3776. Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears, is in for Hoodie. He's off doing a game. Let's go to the phones. Thomas on the south side. Thomas, good morning.
Morning, Cap. How's it going?
It's good, Sparky. What's up with you?
I would say I'm with you that Justin needs to be 100% in order to play, but man, would it be sweet to beat the guy that came into our building and told us he effing owns us.
Oh, man. Can you imagine, like, Dominique Robinson comes around the edge and sacks him and Aaron's laying down there? Own that.
Yeah, imagine if this is the week the pass rush actually comes alive. Wouldn't that be something?
That'd be incredible. That would be incredible. Tom, have a great weekend, man. Appreciate you. Jeffrey is in Wadsworth. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First off, happy holidays to you.
You too, man.
Well, my theory is I don't mind them starting as long as they use their head and keep some protection in to, you know, to sort of, listen, the Green Bay defense ain't that great anyway. So if you could keep a tight end in just for extra protection, keep the running back in for extra protection, just give them the opportunity to throw the ball, I'm all for it.
All right, have a great day. You don't mind him playing as long as they can protect him. I don't know if they can protect him.
I mean,
but if he's cleared, you play.
And the thing, I wanted to go back to Tom's point, like, if he's 100%, no one's 100% at this point of the season. And I think that's what we need to take into consideration. How much pain can he play through? We know he has a very high threshold, probably higher than most human beings, for being able to play through injury. But it may not be fully healed. That's the thing. Like, it could be healed enough to where it's not going to be every time he hands the ball off, he's feeling the tug of it, or when he's in his throwing motion. Because he said last week that it was every time he was throwing the ball, he's feeling it in his other shoulder. Clearly, he must not be that bad, or at least where he was, if he's a full participant in practice and he has his full range of motion. But to say that he's going to be at full health, I don't think that they're there. I don't think that anybody is. I think it's the tolerance of an injury, because he's not just going to go off the injury report today. I mean, unless you see dash dash, which means there's no injury next to his name and he's a full participant, the shoulder's still probably going to be something that pops up. I mean, they have the bye next week, but you know, if they didn't have the bye, it could very well be on it next week, and it's just like something that they're monitoring, but they still have to report the injury.
I asked a baseball player. It was like, August, how you feel? Are you 100%? He goes, by May, I'm not 100%, and I won't be until, like, January. So there's a difference, though, not being 100% because of the rigors of the season and not being 100% because you're dealing with an acute injury.
Yeah, and I don't think that he will be the, it's not a matter of the injury's all of a sudden gone. I think he'll still be dealing with some effects of it, but it might not be enough to keep him from playing. I mean, very clearly it wasn't enough to keep him from practicing in full, which is a good sign.
Correct. I'm going to stay consistent here. I know everyone thinks I flip. I said that I would hand him 2 plane tickets and go to Mexico, have a good time. I'll see you in the spring.
You wanted him to shut him down for the rest of the year.
If he's not 100%. I don't mean 90. 100%.
You want to see the shoulder completely healed. Every scan reveals that the ligaments are reattached,
yes,
and it is not an issue.
Yes.
I just think that it's probably not possible for that in terms of the timetable. When he says partially torn ligaments, we don't know the degree of the separation, but I think he's going to be dealing with something. I wouldn't be surprised if he's full and he's not on the injury report. He's still probably getting some shot or some something in that area. He said he would if he was going to play against the Jets. So we don't know. That's like the thing we all have to consider here, too. He has not had it shot up yet to that point.
Okay, so then my scenario where I would play him if and only if my doctors said, He's fine. He's 100%. He's good to go. I don't mean 100% like his body is not feeling the wear of the season. That shoulder is at no risk. He's good to go. You can play him. Okay. If they said very little risk, he's a he's 94%.
You still would sit him at that point.
And I know Waddle's going to go, he's a football player. He needs the reps. I get all that, Tommy. I do. If he's not 100% in his shoulder, 100%, you're out. We're 3-9. You're my future.
Mm-hmm.
Not playing you.
And I get that logic. I was not expecting
at 100,
all.
Go ahead.
And he very well may be at that. I was so surprised yesterday, considering what the team had been saying, that they were in the same boat this week with him that they were last week. And maybe that's some gamesmanship. Maybe that's trying to keep an injury of a player close to the vest. I don't know. But then to see him go out there and be full, very clearly something changed from Wednesday to Thursday and showing you he is actually getting better on a day-to-day basis.
Or if the injury was not as serious as we all thought it was.
And again, we don't know the degree of the separation, so that very well could be the case that it's healing faster than they expected, and maybe I don't know what his treatment is on that. We don't know. I mean, he said that, you know, he's been rehabbing it, and he's, you know, obviously meeting with trainers and probably spending more time in the training room now than he was when he wasn't injured. But if he is fully healthy, I mean, it's a very clear line here. Either you're medically cleared to play or you're not. And they're going to look at that, the doctors and the trainers and everybody else who's evaluating him, and they have to take into consideration the risk of re-injury, what the degree of the injury is right now, and what potentially could make it worse, and how the pain management thing factors into that, because pain management, it's a tolerance scale, and every player is different.
But there's a difference being medically cleared and doing the smart thing and playing when you're 3-9.
They're factoring in all of that, but I think that the doctors at least have there's no real gray area, I think, with medicine, at least in terms of the trainers and the sports medicine people that they have on staff. It's either yes or no, and then the player, Eberflus talked about the three-pronged system or whatever it was called, and that that's where it starts, the medical people, and then the player gets to say, can I go, can I not go? Kind of like what we saw with Tevin Jenkins a few weeks ago, where he was medically cleared to play, but he felt that he wasn't healthy enough to play a full game, which is why he was the emergency backup. It's a weird situation. I've never heard of it before outside of this instance, but that falls on the player, and then the coaches have the wherewithal to either say yes or no because of using what they know in practice. And we talked with Andrew Janoco about this yesterday, the Bears quarterbacks coach. How do you weigh all that stuff in? And he said that they have a policy in the quarterback room, 100% honesty. And I'm sure other buildings do this too, but that comes down to injuries as well. You got to be able to have candid conversations about, can you really go? Can you really handle this load? Can you really do what you're asked? Like, we understand you're a competitor. That's fine. But you've got to think about this in the long-term thing. He's 23 years old. He's being asked right now to think about his future and to think about what happens beyond the season. And that I'm sure he's probably had some come-to-Jesus conversations with himself about, is it really worth it? Is it really worth pushing it? Because last week when they were playing the Jets, I asked him, I was like, did you realistically think you had a shot to go? And he said, yes. Like, it just was a matter of the warm-up, and then there were tests that they had to do when he went to the trainer's room, and they said no. So they did the right thing there. Yeah. And now it's like, is it strictly a pain management thing, or is there some risk of re-injury? If there's not a risk of re-injury, they're going to clear him to play.
Yeah, I asked Coach Wants that yesterday. He walks into your office. He said, Coach, this is BS. I can go. I'm playing. He said, if the doctors say to me, he's 97%. Just a little bit there, but he can get out there. He said, love you, love your competitiveness. You can be mad at me. You're out. He said, 100%.
You can't say no.
You're a football player. You can't say no to a guy you're not playing because you don't want to win a football game.
Haven't this version of the Bears been kind of transparent with us, too, though, that they're like, Yeah, if a player tells us they can go, we're going to leave it up to the player. The medical staff, as long as they say, you know, there's no risk of re-injury or risk,
there's a big difference between Larry Borum and Justin Fields.
Oh, of course there is.
You're bringing up the Jalen Johnson thing, Shay, right?
Yeah, and also a little bit of the Tevin Jenkins.
Where yeah, no, they
I,
have.
I can play, I can't start.
And I think the coaches have put the onus on the players in what you're talking about, the transparency and how this has been presented publicly to in our press conference settings, that they are giving the players really autonomy over their bodies to be like, I can or I cannot. And there might be something in there too about proving toughness, because there's, you know, what can you play through? We're putting it on you. Like, if the doctor says you're cleared, like, what pain management level, like, what pain tolerance level can you play through? And I feel like when we were talking with Jalen about his oblique injury, what was that? Before the Detroit game, when he got cleared and he played.
Correct.
That was when he had the two penalties and on the touchdown drive.
Well, then he got beat for the 44-yard crosser by the kid from Bryant College.
And he talked about, like, you know, the coaches giving him that flexibility where you are able to do that. And I think some players want to, if the coaches are telling you that it's on you, and then they'll have the final say. But if you're cleared and it's on you, I think the coaches want to see the players play through that.
But Jalen Johnson on Monday was ticked when people were like, he was horrible. He got beat on that.
And he's also like, yeah, my oblique is on fire, and I'm playing through injury.
From play one. Like, no, he pushed back.
He went out in the game. Like, right, there were moments where he was going to the sideline, but he still played through it because he was given that freedom to do it. Because I think that there might be something with, because everybody here is on an audition. Let's not like, kid ourselves. This is a 3-9 football team.
A lot of guys won't be back.
Exactly. So you've got to play through things in order to kind of prove yourself and at whatever level, whether you're a starting cornerback or
in another team looking, going, well, that's a tough guy.
Absolutely. That's the football way.
All right. We'll get back to your calls. Phone lines are hopping. 312-332-3776. How important is it for the Bears to beat this Packers team? They're not very good, the Packers, nor are we. With Fields on track to play if he goes full participant today at practice, should the Bears be starting him this weekend? We want you to act like an executive or a coach and think, would I truly put my guy out there? We'll get back to your calls next.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Name the movie this song is from. I think I'm right. Shay, you got it? No? Jake? Courtney? Mm-mm. Wasn't this in Van Wilder when he's auditioning?
You've just seen all the worst movies. I've never seen Van Wilder.
Spectacular. I've got Van Wilder downloaded on my iPad.
I'm like a painter. Van Wilder? That's a painter's name.
That's Van Gogh. Goof. No, it was Ryan Reynolds. It was awesome. He's like a 7-year college student.
You ready? National Lampoon's Van Wilder, 18% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, good. Then the other 82 are idiots.
This guy says Star Wars, the stupidest thing he's ever watched. He's never seen it. National Lampoon's Van Wilder.
No, I saw the first Star Wars, and I will not see any of the others. Okay. That whole genre stinks.
It's a lot to keep up with.
Yes.
I'm not in the boat saying it stinks. I don't have the bandwidth for
whatever the opinion on the rest of the movies, whatever. The first two from 77 and 80, whatever. The first one in Empire Strikes Back, phenomenal. Movie history.
Enjoy.
This guy, Wilder, it's spectacular.
My father-in-law, we do a movie on Christmas Day every year as a family. Uh-huh. Every year.
You go to a movie?
Yes.
Okay.
And he wanted to pick the movie this year. I'm like, all right, what do you want to see? Avatar 2 apparently is coming out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I never saw Avatar 1. He's like, it's one of the 3 to 5 greatest movies ever.
I've heard that, true, and I don't understand why.
It's not a very good movie. It made a lot of money.
But I don't understand why it's held in such high regard.
Right. So
I've seen the first one. So.
I didn't. He said, you need to go see the first one. Just watch it on TV. I guess it's coming back to the theaters.
They're gonna
ramp you up for the new one.
That's what they should have done with Top Gun.
It's coming back to the theater, Top Gun Maverick, again. I've seen it 30 times already. It's the greatest.
30?
It's a lot.
We watched it twice down on vacation as a family. Twice.
Is it as good on the home theater experience as it is yes. in like 4K?
Yes.
Okay.
It's amazing.
It's a great movie.
Oh, love that.
Cap, movie. We also do the Christmas Day movie. Mm-hmm. It's the best. Mm-hmm. My favorite story is I saw one year we went and saw Wolf of Wall Street. Then I sat next to my 80,
we saw the same, and I sat next to my late mother-in-law.
I sat next to my 83-year-old grandmother and watched The Wolf of Wall Street.
Right, and the scene with the cocaine off the stripper.
Yes,
and I got my late mother-in-law right next to me. I'm like, oh God, yes, crazy, but it's a great movie.
Great movie.
Anyway, let's go to the phones because they're locked and loaded. How important is it for the Chicago Bears to beat the Green Bay Packers team this weekend? Or would you rather Justin plays well? Yeah, he looked good. He stayed healthy. And we lost to get the 3-9?
3-10.
Or play him. Let's go. Let's see what he can do. Let's go to our guy, Joey G in Melrose Park. Joey!
Camp Courtney Cronin. How are you?
I'm great, Joey. How are you?
Guy hoodie's off.
Fabulous. My guy. Yeah, my son. Sure.
That's it.
There's too many ifs, ands, or buts in your conversation this morning about Justin Fields. So, I'm the general manager. I made the commitment. He's the future. 100%, I still don't play him.
Okay, and if your doctors clear him and say, Joey, general manager, he's good to go. No more risk than me or Courtney or you being out there.
Well, that's what they said to Tua in Miami. He was cleared to go. He played Thursday, got hurt, concussion again.
I think
so. The doctors could be wrong, too.
What do you say, Courtney?
I mean, vastly different circumstances with a neurological thing like a concussion. And they were wrong. They admitted that they were wrong. The independent neurological person on the sideline got fired for clearing Tua to go back into the game and then obviously clearing him to play on that Thursday night game. A shoulder injury is different. I mean, I understand that sometimes medicine's not completely, you know, sometimes there's loopholes and sometimes there's a gray area. It should be black and white, and that's how they're going to look at this when they're going to clear him or not clear him. But I can't equate the two injuries. But I do, Joey, I get your point.
Yes, sir.
I have one more question.
Bring it on.
Okay, next season when they're having the draft and the free agency, so you got polls, Eberflus, Getsy in the room. Do you think Justin should be in the room with opinion on who he wants to play with?
No, but they should talk to him. For example, if they're, and we appreciate your call, man. Have a great weekend. We love you. If they are doing their draft prep and they're like, you know what? We really like Jackson Smith and Jigba, or we really like whoever. Justin, do you know this guy?
Mm-hmm.
You played with him at Ohio State, or you competed against him from Illinois or wherever. Get his opinions. In the room, no. Players play. Executives and coaches prepare and pick players.
Yeah, you don't want to walk that fine line. I mean, that's the Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers conversation of wanting to have more autonomy in the decision-making about who they're going to be throwing the ball to.
So you have a meeting with
you
them.
You don't let them have the final say. And, I mean, Justin is 23 years old. He is young in this, and I tend to think that you got to prove yourself as the franchise guy, which he's on his way to doing. Mm-hmm. But to set him up for success, I wouldn't say necessarily on specific players. That feels like that's putting like a lot on him.
Unless he has interaction with them.
They're going to ask him, hey, what did you think about this guy when you played with him? Like in Jackson Smith and Jigba, the wide receiver from Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Like he played with him, I think, for one season. I think he was a freshman when Fields was there in 20.
Or they go to him and say, we're thinking of trading for Chris Olave. Tell me what about him. Yes, no,
yes. You do have a whole scouting staff, too. Like, those people have jobs for a reason.
Correct.
And I think you take as much information in as possible to evaluate what the free agent process is going to look like and who you're going to bring in. But the quarterback's not going to have the final say.
No.
But I do wonder how much more of that is happening now that we've seen the Rodgers situation play out in Green Bay and how that's kind of broken things open for maybe more conversations where players want to be involved. And especially, I mean, if you're paying guys a lot of money and you're expecting them to operate within the offense, you want to know, like, what do you think is the area that needs the most improvement? What do you think about your pass protection, XYZ?
Okay. 312-332-3776. Hey, Will, you ready to go?
Yep.
All right, we're coming to you next. We're talking Bears. Love to hear your thoughts. Would you play Justin Fields if you were running things? Not the fan, because the meatball and me hopes he plays and we win 71-7. We'll be right back.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Rolling on ESPN 1000. Courtney Cronin is in for Hoodie. He's off doing a college basketball game tomorrow, so he is traveling. Shay is answering the calls and sitting in the executive producer chair. Jake Cantu is at the board. He is our audio producer. I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776. Again, Greeny at 10, Carmen York at 12, Waddle and Sylvie live for Miller Time from Cody's Public House on Barry, and then 6 to 11 tonight, the Pac-12 championship game. So it should be fun. Let's go back to the phones, and let's talk to, how about Will in St. Charles? Hey, Will, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, what's going on there? It's a pleasure to talk to you guys.
You too.
Hey, okay, so first of all, this topic is making my blood pressure just skyrocket. To me, this is so freaking cut and dry, and I've been GMing this team since I was born. So, first of all, okay, we get the fact that we're not going to the playoffs. We all get that. Also get the fact Fields has a lot of heart. The guy wants to get out there and play. I love that about him. That's why I'm so excited about him and the future with this team. Well, the fact of the matter is, we've already established they've got a bye week next week. Let the guy sit for two more weeks. Let him get, let's make sure he's 110%. And then when you bring him back, at this point now, we can start grooming him to, I don't want any design runs. I mean, first and foremost, I don't want any design runs for this guy. I'm not going to be able to deal with it watching the game. So at this point, it's like paralysis by analysis. There has to be common sense with this. We're 3-9. We're going nowhere. Yeah, I would love to have a top five pick. I swear to God, if they go out there and beat Green Bay, even if Fields is healthy, that's going to be the end of it. I mean, they're not going anywhere. I don't want him to risk injury at this point. And if they must play him, I'm begging this organization, please let him learn how to pass the ball.
Courtney may disagree, and Will, we appreciate your call. I heard Tommy say that. I'm hearing him say that. They have proven their receivers don't get separation. Their best receiver, he has ankle surgery, and they cannot protect him. He got pressured at the highest rate since they've been tracking quarterback pressures through the first 6 weeks when we were at our healthiest.
Mm-hmm.
So to just drop him back to see if he can do it, I don't think that accomplishes anything.
I don't think they're going to just completely eliminate the designed runs from the playbook. Like, that would be, you know, that's just the wrong move because he is such a dynamic rusher. Go back to the Atlanta game. He ran 14 times in the first half. 9 of those were on designed runs. The other 5 were scrambles, if my mm-hmm. math is right on that. That's too much. And that's the wear and tear as to why he only ran, I think, 4 times in the second half. Find the balance of that where it's not, like, and the thing with Fields is that if he doesn't see something develop downfield, he's taking off. That's who he is as an athlete. And I had this conversation with Tyke Tolbert yesterday, the Bears wide receiver coach, because there's some really good things that Justin picked up on from Trevor Siemian in his start against the New York Jets. There was the check down to Darrington Evans. That was the play that Fields said that really stood out to him when he's watching on the sideline and being able to see, you know, a small gain turn into a big one. But I want to go back to that. That's the first, the only touchdown drive they had. contested catches, being able to throw the 50-50 ball. That's what Fields needs to work on. And because everybody says, oh, well, let's just make him a passer. Let's, you know, find a way to do that. Well, what do you want to see specifically? What do you think the biggest area that he can improve is? I want to see him not wait for a guy to be open, because
you want him to throw him open.
You got to throw him open. You have to learn that, because
Trevor Siemian actually did that last week.
He did with Chase Claypool. And I think that that's the situation where Fields can improve the most and where he can learn the most. And will you see that now? I mean, like, this all comes back to, is he healthy to play? Not healthy enough. Is he medically cleared to play, because they don't feel there is a risk of re-injury? You can put him in there and you can jumpstart this process of, let's make him a traditional pocket passer. Let's have him win from the pocket. He's shown he can do it. Like, let's not forget, he did that at Ohio State.
Have you ever read the NFL.com scouting report on him?
Of course.
Where it says, can make plays with his legs, but more of a pocket
passer.
Yes,
exactly. And people forget about that.
Correct.
Granted, you have to take into consideration the context here. You're playing at Ohio State. You're playing with a vastly more talented team at that point, specifically, than any other team in the Big Ten. So you're playing with an NFL team, so your competition level is different, and obviously that makes things easier.
Agreed.
All that said, this is going to be part of the game plan. And even Matt Eberflus, he'll always go back to saying, you got to be smart with what your rush concepts are for your quarterback. You don't want to put the guy in harm's way. There are things that Justin can do to protect himself. He's sliding when he needs to. He's not always getting the calls. It's not that he's being reckless when he runs. But dialing back on that, incorporating more pass concepts to where you can use, you know, slide the protection, have a rolling pocket, do things like that to get him in situations where he can get outside of the pocket too and make plays on the run. Like, that's where I think he can really make some of his hay as a passer in the NFL. Now, you do want to see that happen in the pocket. It's not going to look pretty regardless this year of, like, whether you let him sit this week, whether he's healthy enough to play or not, whatever. And then have him come back and start doing that against Philadelphia, it's not going to look like a complete product because of the lack of talent and the discrepancy at multitude of positions across the board.
If he drops back and he's able to stand there and he gets a clean pocket and he's got a guy with separate, he delivers a good, great. I just don't want that. Justin, you can play, but you can't run. We want 35 passes. No.
And they wouldn't design a game plan like that because it's going...
You're taking his instincts away.
Yeah, and he can't play the position that way, because that's why in the conversation I had with Tyke Tolbert, I thought it was so interesting about those contested catches, those 50-50 balls. Fields is going to be taken off a lot of times before he's willing to give a guy a chance on those. That's what we've seen, because he is such a dynamic rusher.
But is because he also doesn't trust what the protection or the receivers?
I think it's a lot. It's a combination of all those things, and it's him not wanting to throw an interception in those moments. So he thinks, let me put the onus on myself. Let me take care of this, because I can make something out of nothing here, and I don't want a chance lobbing up a ball that might get picked off. That's why quarterbacks do that. He just happens to have a dynamic rushing ability that many quarterbacks do not.
Correct.
And he can make magic on third down plays that look like they're dead at that point. So you can't expect him to take that, like, that area of his game to go away. You just can't.
That's who he is.
Yeah. And thank goodness that's who he is, because that's what makes him so great. And you've gotten to tap into this. And it really, to your point about his scouting report coming out of college, you didn't see that all that much. You saw him throwing bombs to Jameson Williams when he's got broken ribs and a lacerated hip in the Sugar Bowl. Like, that's who this guy is. Getting him to that level in the NFL is a process.
Completely agree. One of the most important people in my life said to me yesterday, do you realize, thank God we have Justin Fields in our town. We've been given a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Use it. And that doesn't just mean on the field. It means what we get to talk about.
Of course.
Pretty amazing. 312-332-3776. Shot or no shot. Plus, we'll give you a chance to win a Hawthorne gift package in the next hour. It's like $250 gift package. It's really cool. And more of your calls. Brian and Cousin Pete and Eddie and Tom and Mike and all of you. 312-332-3776. We'll be back in 2 minutes.